Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. We got a break in your programming to bring you an amazing, amazing guest, your friend and mine, who needs no introduction, Senator Tammy Baldwin. Hello.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
Welcome back. It's so good to see you and to talk to you again. How's everything going? Like, that's a loaded question.
Well, I will tell you that we were warned by Steve Bannon, Steve Miller, the Steves, as I call them, who advised President Trump, that we should expect them to flood the zone.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I think we've all been experiencing. And, you know, when you're being flooded, it's, you know, you have to first tread water and then you have to get your, you got to get into your swing. And I think we're getting there. But boy, it has been quite the first 100 days, and which I would characterize a lot as broken promises. Because as we know, Donald Trump, he was on the campaign trail. He's like, on day one, I'm going to lower costs. On day one, I'm going to end all wars. On day one, I'm going to do all of this. And not only has he sort of betrayed those promises and the people, but he's in many cases, in a calculated way, done just the opposite, especially on costs with his trade wars and tariffs and that sort of thing. So, I mean, where to begin? But it has been a lot of broken promises.
I was, you know, that was, I don't have a ton of notes because I knew it was going to, like, I knew it was going to be bad, but did you really, I didn't know it was going to be this bad. Did you?
No, I did not know it was going to be this bad. And I had a sense of what flood the zone meant, right? That we would see in rapid succession all sorts of announcements and nominations and executive orders and proposals. And but just the sheer volume and, you know, the fact that, you know, we've seen more executive orders signed in the first 100 days than any other president by a big factor, not just, you know, he beat the second place one by three executive orders, right?
And, right.
And we've seen it's like a 24/7 thing. Also, we always used to joke about the announcements that would be made in government after work on a Friday.
Take out the trash.
Didn't want to get any media attention because doesn't everyone go home at Friday? You know, on Friday evening, and then they have the weekend, right? The type of major announcements that we were hearing on Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. And I think of so many of them, you know, I try to get home every weekend when I can after session, get back to Wisconsin and travel around the state. And the things I would hear about when I was back in the state, and people would be saying, you know, what do you mean they're going to cut these research dollars to our universities? What do you mean that they're going to freeze federal funding? And there's no one to call back in Washington to say, you know, Secretary Kennedy, what do you mean when they say that people can't access their Head Start dollars? Yeah. Can they open on Monday or not? And it has been a sort of combination of this steady flurry, including in non-business hours, and also in many ways, an intentional stonewalling of information.
Yeah.
So I'm on two different committees that oversee some aspect of the Health and Human Services Department. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they announced that they're going to fire hundreds of scientists. Can we get any information at all about what divisions or agencies they're being fired at? Is it all on NIH? Can we get any information when the city of Milwaukee, which is conferring with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention about lead levels in their public schools? Can we get any information when they call over there and they can't respond because they have fired every lead expert in that office? And these are just little, you know, there's hundreds of these examples, and it's it's more than frustrating because it's downright harmful and cruel.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I talked to a woman named Christina Dry, and she was worked for USAID, and she was like the big speechwriter and communications person. And the stories that she said on this program about what happened, and they were the first agency that went through this, and the standing on the global stage is gone. You know, in the first 100 days, Donald Trump has tanked virtually every major market in the world. And, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of jobs being cut, and we're less safe on everything from storm forecasting to travel to cybersecurity. What can Democrats do about it?
Well, we have to fight on all fronts. And so I'll start with my alliteration.
Yeah.
When they violate the Constitution, when they violate the law, we got to fight in the courts.
Yeah.
And there's over 200 cases right now on almost every illegal thing that he's done.
Good.
And you know what? At the trial court level, we're winning by and large. Most of those cases, when they're finally heard, they're saying, oh, you've got to rehire those people you fired on the Valentine's Day massacre. Now, it's clumsy because it sometimes takes a while, and then are all those people available to be hired back, et cetera. But we gotta keep to the rule of law. And when he violates it, when he overreaches, we need to make sure that we go into court. There's some that we can do to fight back in Congress. You know, Republicans, the same party as the president, control both houses of Congress. So that makes it challenging. But we have had just a couple of early glimmers of hope where in the Senate, a handful of my Republican colleagues have voted with the Democrats to stand up to this administration. Now, we need to see a lot more of this, and people can help by making sure that when you call me, also call Ron Johnson, and, you know, and also call your House member, whether Democrat or Republican. But by way of example, the tariffs, a lot of people think that there was a huge overreach with regard to the tariffs. And we had a vote in the Senate to get rid of the emergency declaration that President Trump used to justify his tariffs with Canada, a huge trading partner. In fact, was number one trading partner. We actually won that vote. And unfortunately, the House didn't take it up. But we got to build on that, you know, that we found a few Republicans who are willing to stand up to the president. We need to find a few more. We need to rise the pressure. And then it's our constituents. So courts, Congress, our constituents, standing alongside our constituents who are organizing to fight the worst of these actions. And not only the ones that have already been taken, but the ones that we're hearing about that will be taken in the future, like during this budget reconciliation process, these proposed cuts to Medicaid. People are organizing, saying hands off Medicaid. I'm doing a lot of that organizing when I go home, and I have roundtables on that topic and hear from people who rely on Medicaid or who have children with disabilities who rely on Medicaid to be safe and healthy. And so that part is really important also. In states and localities where there are actions that can be taken at the state or local level, that's another way to fight back. And so we have to pull together, and it's Democrats, but it's also independents. And again, those Republicans who have the courage to stand up against this president when he has overreached or done become involved in unconstitutional activity or illegal activity.
You know, and we're here in the 8th Congressional District, and we have someone who we don't really know where he is, in Tony Weed. And what's neat is when you come home, you talk to people. What are you hearing from the people of Wisconsin when you talk to them?
Yeah, well, let me before I answer what I'm hearing when I'm at home, I just want to mention that like a year ago, on average, I might get between 50 and 100 calls a day.
Okay.
During this moment, during these first 100 days, it was not at all unusual for us to get over 1,000 phone calls
a day.
Come
on.
I know.
Really?
And I try to track what my staff who are answering the phones, what are you hearing on the phones? And they'll give me like, here are the top five issues that
That's
we're hearing
crazy.
About. Yeah, but you're saying, so what do you hear? So I want to say that I'm hearing also from people who call in or email in, not just the ones who, you know, attend a roundtable, et cetera. And so it varies. Like sometimes it's the outrage of the week. When Doge came into the Treasury Department and stole their Treasury database that has almost every transaction, financial transaction that the United States government participates in, people were terrified. What does that mean? What sort of insights do they have about me? And then when they continued to steal other databases and data, people got worried about their medical information and their social security numbers. And so we got a surge of calls around that by way of just one example. But as I'm traveling the state, I would say two of the key issues right now are protecting and fighting against efforts to steal people's health care away, to jeopardize the Social Security program that people paid into over their lifetime and want to know will be there in their retirement. They also want to know that if they have questions, the phones there will be answered, or that they can get through to somebody to help answer questions or process cases. And so people are talking a lot about that. And then the tariffs. When the president has said across the board, I don't care if you're enemy or ally, adversary or best friend, tariffs across the board. And small businesses started realizing what part of their supply chain, what they sourced from overseas versus domestically. Our farmers who get so much of their inputs from Canada, like their fertilizers and other components, and those who have built up export markets, but now know that with retaliatory tariffs, those are probably foreclosed to them. People were so scared. And, you know, most of the jobs created in America are created by small businesses. And we have so many business leaders in Wisconsin who wonder if they'll survive a trade war.
Right.
And wonder if they'll have to, become smaller and lay people off or raise prices and then maybe have customers who can't afford them anymore. And if this is something that might lead to a recession, then families are going to be worried about their budgets and how far they'll stretch. And they're not going to patronize some of these small businesses like restaurants or bars or, stores where they might buy things beyond the absolute necessities. Mm-hmm. So it has such ramifications.
Yeah, it's really, we got about 45 seconds left. How does this get better? And I know we can't say that in 45 seconds, but what do we do?
Well, just people have to know their power. You know, there was a previous Trump presidency and he tried to take away the Affordable Care Act, and people rallied and people wrote and people organized. And alongside our constituents, we won that battle. And we're going to stand up and fight back against so many of these proposals that are outright cruel and harm people. And we're going to try to be as successful as we possibly can while preserving and protecting our very democracy at the same time.
little things like
know
that.
Know your power.
Yes.
Know your power. Everyone has power.
That's a special interview with Rational Revolution host Mark Becker and Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. We'll return with more discussion on the silent epidemic with Pastor Jerry Bader and Brian Briscoe next on Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Take Rational Revolution with you anywhere. Log on civicmedia.us/shows or listen to Rational Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.